Well, greetings and welcome to North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Poposky. We are back after some time off, some considerable time off, and we have a new look, a new website, and we hope that you are taking a look at that and listening in on more, no, check it, msonewsports.com or msonewsports.com. It's msonewsports.com, one word. The same word is msonewsports.com. So you take your pick, either sports or news. We're happy to do it. But it's a new look, new website, lots of new stuff up there. And tonight's our first show back in quite a while as we've gone through some big changes. And we've got some more changes coming up for the fall. Tim Kearns is not here tonight, but he is somewhere on the North Shore. In fact, he is in Beverly, I believe, as the Manchester Essex Mariners will be taking on the Beverly Giants in the ITL baseball playoffs tonight, as Manchester Essex winning 5-2. More on that coming up in just a little while. So Tim will have some updates for us from Beverly. And we'll also be chatting with Phil Stacey or Matt Jenkins or Gianna Addario from the Salem Evening News. And we'll check in with Craig Genualdo, the athletic director at Hamilton Wenham High School. Plus, we are going to play an interview that Bill Newell did earlier in the week that's on our website with Kelly Farley. She is the new athletic director at Swampscott High School after spending the last half dozen years or so at Manchester Essex. So that's our program coming back. We have a lot to discuss. We have football coming up in just about 1 month, a full schedule. The schedule is posted on MSO News Sports, and it's posted on the right-hand side. But if you go to the top, you'll see some tabs right at the top. And right smack dab in the middle over MSO News Sports, you will see MSO Radio Fall Football Broadcast Schedule. And that means we'll be doing our usual two broadcasts on a Friday night at least, and we may have a third with video, but we also will have at least one video game each week. And that generally will be a simulcast with our radio description, too. So Bill Newell, Tim Kearns, Paul Ingram, Marty Smith, and a lot of other guys are going to be helping us out with football this year. We hope that you'll be part of it. We're on a big push right now to try to get some help for this. We need to get some sponsorship, needless to say, and some advertisers. But we're working on it. We've got a lot of hopeful signs out there. People have been very nice in talking with us, and should be a fun season. We hope to build on this and make it even more biggerer and more betterer. So tonight is ITL baseball and other stuff, too. We hope that you will spread the word if you're listening to this. Tell people that we are back. This is a Monday night program. It's the only program that we know of on Monday nights that serves local sports, and we do local interviews. It's called a talk show because we do a lot of talking, but it is more of an interview show. I would prefer to interview the people who actually know what they're talking about, the coaches, the athletes, the officials, and all that kind of thing. That's what we try to do here on MSO, and we always want to keep it positive. We try to talk as positive as we possibly can because it's mostly amateur sports to begin with. And even beyond that, it's mostly focused on high school sports. But we do get into other stuff as well. So we hope that, again, you'll spread the word. Let people know about MSO News Sports. We used to be morestuffonline.com. That's still the parent. Morestuffonline.com is our parent. We still have that website. You can go back to that for all of our audio archives. They are still there. And we have about 9 or 10 years' worth of interviews and programming on the website. You can go back to the archives in a couple of different directions. You can go back to On Demand, and most of our program, if not all of our programs, are still there. Had a little problem. I lost my main computer yesterday, and I think it's dead, buried, and gone. I think all the stuff that was on it's gone, too, but that's a story for another day. We're here. We've got stuff, and we're going to keep bringing it to you. Lots of sports. Happy to say that Bill Newell is really back in it with both feet this year, and Bill has a lot of interviews up already, both for news and for sports. If you have any suggestions or comments, you can send them along to msoradio@gmail.com. msoradio@gmail.com. Some of our other emails haven't performed as well lately as they ought to. So msowebradio@gmail.com will do it. That'll get your stuff to us. Okay, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back. We'll have an interview with Kelly Farley. She is the new athletic director at Swampscott High School. They've got a new football coach, too. We'll be talking with him in the not-too-distant future. I talked with a couple of people from Revere today. They're very excited about the new De La Russo Stadium. Bill also has some pictures of the new De La Russo Stadium up, I believe. You can check those out. We'll be chatting with Lou Ciccarelli and, Ciccarelli, and a lot of other people, too, as well, coming up, again, in the not-too-distant future. And we especially will be talking about getting ready for the fall season. Kids are back at it already in terms of captain's practices and that kind of thing, and they will be back at school before you know it. So, take care of that. All right. Let me see. Lou Ciccarelli, again, very happy, of course, to have a new stadium. Good for those guys, and watch out for Revere this year. Lou always puts together a very competitive team. We'll be talking to all the coaches, most of the athletic directors, coming up in the weeks. We hope to focus on other sports, and we will have our live streaming videos. Andrew Nicastro of Streamography.com will be joining us once again this year, and we're going to try to get these videos on Friday night in a tavern near you up on the big screen. The video quality is very good, and it would seem like a natural to be in some of the sports establishments around the North Shore so that you can watch Friday night football. And if you're of an ilk and you would like to see the area football games, mostly Northeastern Conference, we'll touch on K-Band League and others as well, and talk to your local barkeep, your local tavern owner, and say, hey, how come more stuff online isn't there? MSONewsSports.com, and we can get there, believe me. Okay, first break coming up. We'll be back with Bill Newell's interview with the Swampscott Athletic Director. This is North Shore Sports Night on MSONewsSports.com.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
It's team decided. The best pizza in Lynn is Mandy's Pizza on Goodrich Street, right across from Lynn English High School. Satisfying pizza lovers since 1962. Stop in or enjoy express delivery in Lynn and Swampscott. Go online and check out mandyspizza.com or call 781-599-6000.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber, and I want to speak to you today about our kitchen cabinet department. Many of our customers tell us how much they appreciate browsing in our showroom, in which there are 25 kitchens displayed. They're also very complimentary of our sales staff. Denise, Randy, Steve, and Mike are four of a kind that's hard to beat. Please visit our kitchen cabinet showroom. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street in downtown Beverly, or MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
North Shore Bank.
Hey, look, free lemonade.
Hey, sweetie, can we have two free lemonades?
Sure. Would you like me to pour it? There's just a small pouring fee of 50 cents.
Okay.
And it's just 25 cents more to have it chilled.
But the sign says free lemonade.
But you should really read the fine print.
Does it seem like your bank's checking accounts have all sorts of hidden fees? At North Shore Bank, we think checking should be sweet and easy, like sipping lemonade. That's why we offer checking accounts that work for you, without the customer service issues and hidden fees of a big bank. So if you're looking for a local community bank, call us today at 877-712-7000 or visit us online at www.northshore-bank.com.
North Shore Bank. Well, north of your expectation.
Do you want me to smile while I pour?
Member FDIC, member SIF.
This is MSO Newsports.com. I'm Bill Newell with Kelly Farley, the new athletic director at Swampscott High School. And Kelly, tell us about what are some of the first actions that you're required to do here in Swampscott.
So obviously, first of all, just to get myself introduced to everybody, get to know the community a lot better, and so on and so forth, and then kick off the fall season and start some initiatives from there.
What's going on right now? What is keeping you busy?
Hiring some coaches is are definitely key things right now. Getting to know the community as far as the recreation director and all the other players about that are integral to the athletic department and that sort of thing. So it's really kind of going down that list. And most importantly also is getting to know my coaches.
Have you gotten the impression that football's important here in Swampscott?
Football's definitely important in Swampscott, but the impression I also want to get out is that I think all the sports are important for the kids. You know, there's such a great tradition, and we want to even ramp that up a little bit more and increase participation at games from a fan base and that sort of thing. So that's definitely one of the things on my list as well.
Right. What are the new coaches this year? I know you have a new football coach this year, but any other new fall coaches this year?
Some sub-varsity coaches, and then also we're in the process, just about got finalized, a new head cross-country coach as well.
We've got a number of new things there. The I want to ask you about the MIAA football changes. Apparently not for this fall, but for next fall. What do you know about those possible changes?
So there was a proposal made in the spring to change the start time for the season, make it a little bit earlier in August, to put some pretty significant limits on how many days a week a team can have contact and practices and so on and so forth and that sort of thing. It was really, I think, driven by student safety and because of the increase in concussions and injuries in football. My understanding is that it was tabled for this year because it was a very short lead time for schools to look at coaches' contracts and student athlete and coaches' vacation time and that sort of thing, but I have the feeling that it's something that we'll see come next season.
So the idea is that practices could start earlier, they'd be much more controlled, but yet games won't necessarily be starting any earlier.
Yeah, that's my understanding of it. It's more of a much more controlled practice, more time to make sure the student athletes are in good physical condition and really focusing on student safety.
You spent 6 years rather at Manchester Essex as their athletic director before coming here to Swampscott. So tell me, what are some accomplishments that you kind of that you felt you made or input or impact you made on Manchester Essex athletics? And then again, I'm sure it's some of the same values that you'll be bringing to Swampscott.
Absolutely. So I put a lot of emphasis on educational athletics. I really believe that the athletic field or court or pool, wherever you may be, is an extension of the classroom. And the other thing I really firmly believe in is that student athletes have the opportunity to learn a lot of life lessons as they're going through athletics with their team, with their coaches, everything from communication to working cooperatively with other people and so forth. So that's one thing I've definitely focused on at Manchester Essex, and I plan to focus on here as well. I would like to put together a leadership council of student athletes where we talk about leadership skills, because I feel like a lot of times we give a student athlete a title, a leadership title, whether it be captain or another title, and we say, okay, great, you have this title, go out and do it. And they say, well, maybe I don't have the training. What does it mean to be a true leader? And then the other thing I put big emphasis on and I will continue to do here and maybe make a few changes here is focus on concussions. So impact testing, following up with possible concussions and that sort of thing. And then educating the student athletes around it, coaches obviously, and parents.
Have there been changes in concussion regulations in the last year? I know there clearly were big changes in the last several years.
Not so much in the last year. You know, we're still required to have a concussion policy here at school. We need to update it every couple of years with the Department of Public Health and so on and so forth, which we're in complete compliance with, and that's great. But I want to look at more of the educational piece, too, and bringing awareness of how important it is to be aware of the concussions and properly rehabilitate students who might suffer any kind of a brain injury.
Any other kind of philosophical kinds of things, leadership that you will try to bring to this position in Swampscott?
Yeah, definitely open communication, treating student athletes and their parents in a way that is positive and that is give and take and so on and so forth. And that has happened before, but that's something that I want to definitely continue and really focus on. And just treating every student athlete equally, every team equally, and make sure everybody knows that they're valued and make sure everybody has a positive experience. Win or lose, they come out of every situation with a positive experience.
Let me ask you a question on the leagues. You came from the Cape Ann League. You came from a small school in the Cape Ann League. You're coming to the Northeastern Conference, and you're coming to a relatively small school within the Northeastern Conference as well. And I think that if you're an administrator or a coach or athletic person in either league, you're familiar with the other league to some extent. What are the similarities or what are the differences, do you think, between the two leagues? And can more be done kind of interleague with these two conferences?
Yeah, we've tried some interleague stuff with football. It was successful, but I think philosophically the leagues are a little bit different. The NEC has a lot more city-type schools versus the Cape Ann League, which I think is one difference. The other thing is that the Northeast Conference has a lot of bigger schools. You know, the Cape Ann League has Masco, which is, you know, kind of the elephant in the room, if you will, and Masco notices that as well, that their student enrollment is just so much higher than other Cape Ann League schools, especially if you look at the difference of Manchester Essex at about 470 and then a Masco that's up about 1,100 plus. It's a big difference. Yeah. You know, but the ADs in both leagues are awesome. We have the same commissioner in both leagues and Les Murray. The comfortable thing for me is that I know most of the athletic directors in the Northeast Conference, so that'll be a nice transition for me, and I'm familiar with the way the Northeast Conference works a lot, so I think it'll be a smooth transition.
Any other thoughts about this job coming to Swampscott to become the athletic director?
I'm just really excited for it. I have a lot of great ideas that I want to bring forth and just continue to better the program, and I'm really waiting for the student athletes to get here and everything to get underway.
That's Kelly Farley. She's the new athletic director at Swampscott High School. I'm Bill Newell, and this is MSONewsSports.com.
North Shore Bank.
Hey, look, free lemonade.
Hey, sweetie, can we have two free lemonades?
Sure. Would you like me to pour it? There's just a small pouring fee of 50 cents.
Okay.
And just 25 cents more to have it chilled.
But the sign says free lemonade.
But you should really read the fine print.
Does it seem like your bank's checking accounts have all sorts of hidden fees? At North Shore Bank, we think checking should be sweet and easy, like sipping lemonade. That's why we offer checking accounts that work for you, without the customer service issues and hidden fees of a big bank. So if you're looking for a local community bank, call us today at 877-712-7000 or visit us online at www.northshore-bank.com.
North Shore Bank. North of your expectation.
Do you want me to smile while I pour?
Member FDIC, member SIF.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
The law office of Robert J. Madruga can help you with any questions you might have about taxation, estate planning, asset preservation, or wills, trusts, and probate. A tax specialist, Bob Madruga is the man to see about individual, corporate, or fiduciary taxation. Give Bob a call at 978-283-6883 and make an appointment to get your questions answered. The law office of Robert J. Madruga is conveniently located at 128 Main Street in Gloucester. For the best advice on taxes and estate planning, talk to the best. Robert J. Madruga, the best. Phone 978-283-6883.
Why St. Mary's? I'm Grace Carter Regan, head of school, and I can answer that question. St. Mary's Lynn is a Catholic school, grades 6 through 12, offering students from 30 communities a rigorous college prep curriculum, state-of-the-art technology, small class sizes, championship athletics, and award-winning fine arts. Our graduates are accepted by the best colleges in the country, including Harvard, where three of our alumni are currently studying. Visit smhlynn.org and see for yourself.
Gloria Food Store, 268 Rantoul Street, is Beverly's number one deli. Gloria has cold-cut platters to get you ready for the game. Roast beef, imported ham, turkey breast, Genoa salami, American Swiss, and provolone cheese. Potato salad, coleslaw, pickles, potato chips, rolls, and much, much more. And Gloria uses only the freshest bread delivered every morning. And don't worry about the weather. When the snow comes, Gloria will be open. Beverly's number one deli has closed only once in 24 years due to weather. Gloria Food Store, 268 Rantoul Street, Beverly. Call 978-922-3333.
All right, we're back. Thanks to Bill Newell for that report on MSONewsSports.com, and it's a new website, MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore, and joining us on the line now is the Gloucester Sports Editor, Nick Kukru. Hey, Nick.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. It's been a pretty busy summer for sports. Usually this is a little downtime, but locally a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, it's starting to get to that downtime. I think after these ITL plays out, it's a pretty dreary 2 weeks before the the high school seasons get started.
Well, along those lines, Tim Kearns, we're going to talk with Tim in just a few minutes. Tim is over at Cooney Field in Beverly, and he's telling me that Beverly is leading in the ITL over Manchester Essex 4-1. And Manchester Essex beat Beverly the other day. I guess it was yesterday. Manchester beat Beverly 5-2. So an upset in the making, or are they going to even the series?
Yeah, I would say a slight upset, but Beverly had a pretty solid team. I actually was at last night's game, the 5-2 Mariners win, and I mean, just, you know, a bounce here or there the other way, that game could easily be slipped 5-2 the other way. And it was well pitched, you know, both teams, you know, played pretty well. So you never know in that league, especially with those best of three formats. I know Beverly was throwing their ace tonight, Josh Novak, I believe his name is. So, and Manchester Essex, I don't know who they threw tonight. I'm going to assume not Tucker, since they scored four runs.
Yeah. Now, you know, you should remind people about Rusty Tucker and some of the guys on that Manchester team, because Gloucester kids, they don't have a team in Gloucester, so the Gloucester guys can go either to Rockport or Manchester Essex, is that right?
Yep, absolutely right, yep, and I think there's more Gloucester kids on the Manchester Essex team than there is the Rockport team. But yeah, I mean, we'll start at the top. I mean, Rusty Tucker, you know, everyone knows his story. You know, was on the Padres 40-man roster a while back, UMaine, standout NEC MVP in high school. So he's been their catalyst. I mean, that's what, the way that, you know, the Mariners are going for a four-peat, by the way. They're the three-time defending champs. And, I mean, they've won with pitching. They've just they've picked up pitching. You know, a few years back, they had a three-peat, I think it was from 08 to 2010, and they had Mike Gibbon and Steve Stout. And now in this latest run, it's been Rusty Tucker and Ryan Mox and Roy Gentile taking over on the mound, and they just turn them out. I mean, they're tough to beat in an extended series because of that pitching.
Yeah, and you know, I'm looking at some of these other names. Brian LaFada's on there, and
yeah,
and
LaFada caught last night too. It was a brave move.
Okay, Colin Rogers. I mean, you know, a lot of familiar names to guys who you know, follow Gloucester baseball. And I look at Rockport right at the top of the list. You see Jason Fazina, Jay Palazzola, you know, and Nick Scatterday from Rockport. A lot of familiar names there too. Drew Shares.
They have Connor Douglas and Kyle Nelson, two other Rockport standouts. It was good. I hope Rockport continues to be back. You know, they rebuilt for the last few years, and it looks like now they have rebuilt. You know, so they're good again. And I mean, the number three seed in the league, they're playing Raleigh. Raleigh is extremely tough. They got a lot of kids from that Georgetown, Newburyport area, and you know, those are two baseball factories, so they're tough. They've established themselves as kind of the next best team in the league, but outside of the Mariners. But Rockport's good. I mean, they're very good. They're another team that's really you know, sound. They found a nice young lineup that should keep them in contention for you know, for years.
Did you play ITL baseball, Nick?
I did not.
No. I didn't either. But it's a terrific league. It really is.
It's the oldest amateur baseball league in the country.
Yeah, founded in 1929.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, and then they're still pumping away. It's still, you know, highly competitive. I know, you know, the Mariners have kind of had a stronghold on the league, but they've had to earn all those. They didn't roll over anybody for those championships.
Nick, what else is going on Cape Ann during the summertime? What are you working on right now?
Well, today we just shot the opening round of the Bass Rocks Ladies Mixed Doubles Tournament. Not Mixed Doubles, sorry, Ladies Member Guest Tournament. You know, a lot of stuff like that in the summer, you know. It's, you know, summer's good, too, to get a lot of youth stuff in. I mean, there's a lot of youth clinics going on that a lot of the local high school coaches run. So you're always willing to, you know, help them out. They help me out a ton during the regular season. So when they get their, you know, clinics coming up, I'm always willing to go help them out and take some shots, kind of promote you know, the good stuff they're doing outside of the season.
Very good, very good. Now, what's the status of the new football team? Gloucester has a new, what is it, grade 8 and below football team that's a traveling team?
Yeah, the Youth Fishermen, debuting this year. I believe they start practice in the next couple weeks, so we'll see how that works. It's very interesting, that's for sure. I'm interested to see how it goes. You know, if you had told me 2 years ago that they were going to go this route, I probably would have, you know, scoffed at it and said that's a bad idea, but you know, after seeing the Pee Wee Championship games this past fall, I mean, they just, you know, Gloucester lost a couple games. Most notably, the B-Team Tigers is the one that, you know, really stood out to me. They probably had the three best players on the field, but the Hornets had double the kids.
Right.
So they obviously wore down in the end and lost. And it was tough watching, you know, all those teams, championship teams, you know, the best teams in the league kind of, you know, one or two substitutes on the bench.
It's
so, I mean, I can definitely understand where they're coming from, trying to get something new started, you know, build up some rivalries, you know, with teams in the area, other cities in the area as well. So I'm really interested to see how it works out. I hope it's a positive thing.
We're talking with Nick Kukru, the Gloucester Times sports editor. Nick, it's surprising to me the upside downness of the Cape of the Northeastern Conference in football in particular, but some of the schools that traditionally have been smaller are now the larger, and some of the larger are now the smaller.
Yeah.
For example, Marblehead is one of the bigger, and Gloucester is one of the smaller.
Yeah, that, I was going to say, that's a prime example right there. I was in high school 16 years ago. I like to think it wasn't that long ago, but Marblehead was one of the smallest schools in the conference. In Gloucester, we were kind of right in the middle, but it's taking a bit of a shift. Gloucester is now the fourth smallest school in the NEC in terms of enrollment, which is a shock. I believe Swampscott, Winthrop, and Saugus are the only three that are smaller than them.
Yeah,
they'll be on in the NEC small. I don't know what to expect. I'm thinking, looking forward, when it comes to that, Revere and Winthrop might be their two big games conference-wise on the schedule.
Yeah,
and then you look at that NEC Lodge, that is just a stacked league. I mean, they're going to kill each other up there. I'd be surprised if we saw like a tri-champ situation again, like, you know, we did 2 years ago when, you know, Gloucester, Marblehead, and Beverly just beat each other.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see something along those lines again, because I know, you know, Peabody has the best returning player, Beverly has the most returning guys, and I mean, I think we've gotten to the point where you're always going to throw Marblehead right into that top.
Yeah.
Well,
especially with Coach Rudloff,
the way he
gets the guys moving. Nick, very, very briefly here, If we're going to talk a lot more about this, of course, as we head toward the season. But for fall sports, is there one sport in either Gloucester, Manchester, or Rockport that's non-football that's sort of that jumps out at you and says, "Okay, we were in this one."
I mean, I know you know Manchester Essex defending Division 4 North champs in boys soccer, and we know Rockport boys soccer is always right there in the mix. And Manchester Essex field hockey. They took a little hit last year. They were right around 500. They snapped their streak of, I think it was six straight trips to the finals. But they'll reload, as they always do. Their kids come into high school, and they already know the sport. And look out for Gloucester field hockey this year, too. I've been hearing a lot of good things about the stuff they've been doing in the offseason and the players that they have returned. And that's going to be a team to watch that could contend for an NEC title.
Well, you know, the coaches Riley are there, especially Coach Don Riley. Don works with all the kids. Anybody who wants to work on sports skills, he's there volunteering. It's amazing. But, of course, Lauren's already earned her Spurs, and you're right, that they're going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I even remember, you know, going back, a decade or so, Donnie Riley holding, his little workouts, for anybody to attend.
Right.
We'd attend, and we'd get a great workout, and we're just, glad to lend a helping hand and let anybody get ready for the upcoming season.
And he's still doing it. It's just remarkable, and the kids love him. He's just terrific. Well, it's 4-1 Beverly after 5 over Manchester Essex. We're going to check in with Tim Kearns in just a bit. But, Nick, what do we look for features coming up in sports this week in the Times?
Well, we're starting the end of the week. I'm starting up. It's going to be a little long series, about a 5-week series, just profiling on a couple of our recent Gloucester High Hall of Fame inductees.
Okay.
I don't know who it's going to be yet this week, but we're going to do 2 a week at the end of the week for 5 weeks. We get all every one of them gets a profile, and that's starting this week. So that should be interesting because we had a pretty stacked class of Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. And you know how I rely on you for that. We're going to be at the thing, and I'm going to be hosting the thing, so I'm going to be studying everything you put out there and looking forward to it.
Sounds good.
All right, Nick, we'll talk to you soon, probably next week or the week after. All right, thanks, Nick.
Definitely. Have a good one.
Take care. That's Nick Kukru, who is the sports editor at the Gloucester Daily Times. You're listening to North Shore Sports Night on MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore, producer and engineer Bill Proposky. We're going to check in with Tim Kearns in just a bit. We're going to take a very quick break, and then we're going to come back and talk with Hamilton Wenham Athletic Director Craig Genualdo right here on North Shore Sports Night. So stay with us. This is MoreStuffOnline.com.
After immunizing more than 2 billion children, Rotary Club members are close to wiping polio from the face of the earth. Thanks to a matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to protect children against polio forever.
Rotary is a worldwide network of community volunteers dedicated to helping people in need. Rotary believes the right group of people working together can make communities and the world a better place. Make an impact. Join a Rotary Club in Rhode Island or Massachusetts. For more, go to rotarydreams.org.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low E glass, low maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastow, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
The North Shore Student Athlete Program has a new website. It is NorthShoreStudentAthlete.com. You can navigate to that website from our website by simply clicking on the link to the right on MoreStuffOnline.com. All the information to nominate student athletes is right there. It's a great program combining academics and athletics. Monthly winners, a yearly winner. Check it out and support the North Shore Student Athlete Program at NorthShoreStudentAthlete.com.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new Game Time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at BradfordTavern.com.
North Shore Radio. MoreStuffOnline.com. News and sports for the entire North Shore.
All right, we're back. Once again, this is MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore. On the line now is my partner Tim Kearns, and Tim is over at Cooney Field in Beverly. Coach, what's going on?
Well, Rick, the last time I called you, it was 4-1 Beverly, but Manchester Redhawks put three on the board on the top of the sixth inning, helped by four walks and a big three-run single by Cole Jocelyn. So it's 4-4 in the top of the sixth inning. Ryan Lash has gone all the way. He has given up a ton of hits. He's given up 9 hits altogether over the first 5 innings. But he's gotten chaos when he's had to, and they managed to wear down the Beverly pitcher, who was pitching a heck of a game. Again, they got the 4 walks, and they got a couple of timely hits thrown in. So Tim, this one could be headed to extra innings.
All right, again, we're talking to Tim Kearns over at Cooney Field. It was 4-1 Beverly after 5. Now it's tied up. Tim, set the scene for us. I mean, this is baseball weather right now. So tell us about the field, the crowd, and so on.
Well, it's a decent crowd. Manchester definitely has some following. There's people on both sides of the field. It's Cooney Field, right next to, located behind Hurt Stadium in Beverly, and it's just a great type of baseball. It's cooled off. The sun has gone down behind the trees. The field is in excellent condition. It's the neck of the Babe Ruth field, and they've just done an outstanding job upgrading it with dugouts and fence all the way around. There's bullpens. There's another couple of other teams warming up behind us to play the next game. What I believe is the Beverly Rex. I think it's the North Shore League that's coming in behind us. Mike Gibbon could be coming in relief of Ryan Mark at some point, either this inning or maybe pitching the seventh inning. We'll see. He's been up twice in the bullpen. But it's been just a great night to see some well-played baseball.
With your coach's eye, what kind of baseball do they play, Tim? Where would you put this? Because I know you've got the Futures League with the North Shore Navigators, and then you've got softball leagues. But from what I recall, the ITL is a pretty good competitive league with some good ball players.
Well, it certainly is, because spread out amongst all the teams are guys that played high school, Most of them have played college baseball. You know, I'm looking at the catcher from Beverly, Brian Jerko, and Brian played Legion baseball for me 20 years ago. So he's got some miles on the legs behind the plate there, but he's still a solid catcher. And I'm looking around the field, and Mike Kane, Rory Gentile, Ryan Moss on the mound, Mike Gibbon, and you know these guys are all for the most part, you know, 10 years out of high school. But they still love the game. They stay sharp. They get ready for the summer. These guys will go to the cage in the off season. They'll keep their rounds in shape, and they get together. They come back year after year, and they put on a good show. It's solid baseball. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's solid, entertaining baseball. They know the game, which is always good. It's not a bunch of guys just hacking around.
All right, now where do we stand in this? This is the quarterfinals right now.
This is the semifinals. Rowley and Rockport are playing in the other semifinal game. This series is currently 1-0 to Manchester Essex. Rory Gentile had a 10 strikeout game, as I'm sure many people read in the Gloucester Times or the Salem News tonight, to put him up 1-0. So Beverly really needs to win this game to stay into a playoff game. And big strikeout there by Ryan Mark to end the bottom of the sixth inning. So we go to the top of the seventh, tied 4-4.
How many innings do they play?
They'll play seven, I do believe.
Seven.
I'm getting the nod from Rory Gentile's dad.
Okay.
The scoring is my backup here.
As your backup, okay. You know, I'm looking at the regular season standings, and Manchester Essex finished with 35 points. They were 17-5-1, but Rowley right there at 16-7-1. And then Rockport 13-9-1 and Beverly 11-13. So Manchester Essex, Rowley have the outstanding records in the league this year.
Yeah, it would be a surprise to see those two in the final going at it. And certainly right now Manchester Essex is missing a couple of its big guns. Peter Clark is in here. He's away. Rusty Tucker is away. But they will be back for a Wednesday night game. So it's going to be interesting, or at least for the next series if they happen to go on.
You know, Rusty was a student of mine in high school before he went on to professional baseball, and just a great kid. Can he hit?
I don't care. I think they don't care if he can hit, because Peter Clark can hit. They want him throwing the ball, and he's had an outstanding season pitching for Manchester Essex.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be surprised. Now, do they have the DH? Is that what they do?
Not according to my book. They're hitting nine.
Okay.
They're playing nine and hitting nine.
All right, and finally, Tim, shifting gears, you've talked to some coaches already. I think you were over in Beverly talking to some guys over there, and football is nigh upon us. What are your thoughts as we head into the month of August here?
Well, it's certainly going to be interesting to see who manages to come to the forefront. You know, Santos has gotten a lot of ink in the papers lately for his 2,000-yard you know, season last year, the 32 touchdowns, certainly an outstanding effort by him. And Stephen should only get better this year and build on that season they had last year. Coach Betancourt has got those guys just playing like devils right now, and they're going to want to keep that momentum going. Gloucester's going to see how well they can rebound. Beverly's looking to rebound. There's a lot of teams that are going to be looking to rebound this year after what they probably consider disappointments last year. You're going to have a new coach in Swampscott, so we're going to see how the kids, you know, respond to him. And probably keep pretty much the same philosophy. You're going to see spread. And, you know, if you have the quarterback to run it, you have a running back and a receiver that can play out for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as with every season, there's going to be a lot of questions. We're going to get the answers to those in the first couple of weeks.
All right, we've got a new high school in Winthrop, and Gloucester will be playing Winthrop this year. I don't know where the game is. But that'll be fun to see those two guys play again.
Yes, it certainly will. It was interesting. Sog has bailed out of Marblehead to play another team out of the conference.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, we'll let Coach Ingram talk up that one. And we will be going to Revere. They've got a brand new football field down at Della Russo Stadium, and Coach Ciccatelli's got to be happy about that.
Yeah, it's just the way the future right now that everybody wants to see. The turf fields, they last longer. You know, you can play more sports on them. Give everybody a chance to get on the main field. You know, it's a big investment up front, but it's one that pays off in the long run.
Coach, as you watch this seventh inning start to unfurl, obviously keep your eyes on that while you're talking with us, but how do you think this this Patriots thing is going to play out with Brady?
I think everybody has a 1,001 scenario for how it is going to end, and it's going to be interesting. You know, I've said from the beginning it was a bag job, and you know, the stuff that the Patriots are letting out in terms of the emails and you know, Mortensen not taking anything back at all, and it's looking more damning for the NFL. And you know, I think Kraft didn't want to do what he's doing now and letting all that stuff out of the bag, but they, you know, they turned around and stabbed him in the back.
Yeah.
Like Goodell did, you know, and I think he thought he had to deal with Goodell. He'd fall on the sword, and Brady would, you know, there was one of the Brady, and now the Goodell's basically said, well, screw you, you know, I'm gonna make this power play, and I'm gonna, you know, stand by this, you know, I'm gonna arbitrate my own decision, and you knew how that was gonna end, you know, and Brady wants on again. Alex Worre has just walked the lead off the top of the seventh for Manchester Essex. So we'll see how the Coach Brian Lozada wants to play this. He's got Cerrone is now in the game hitting for it's Carl Rice, I'm sorry, it's Rice, the top of the order. And then we'll have Brian Lozada and then Rory Gentile. So they've got some depth, and there's a little flare to the second baseman. Almost over his head, not far enough. And Alex Ray right back to first base.
Well, good. Keep your eye on it. Keep the play-by-play going, Tim. We've got a couple more minutes here, and nobody's answering the phone for me, and the guests we've lined up, so I'm glad to talk with you. Rory Gentile had 10 strikeouts yesterday for Manchester Essex on the mound. Now, do you remember that game a few years ago? Who was it who pitched 200 pitches? He went back into the outfield, came back in and pitched in the playoffs. Who was that for Gloucester High School?
That was Dylan
Mackey.
Mackey.
Yeah.
And his arm hasn't recovered.
I'm not surprised. I laugh, but I'm not surprised.
They're still looking for his right shoulder.
There you go. There you go. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
All right, so we got one out.
One out, one on.
And who's up?
Ryan LaFleur.
Yep. Pitcher steps off. You haven't seen anything on a rock board story, have you?
No, and I just had Nick Kuker on. Nick was looking, too, and I'm
ooh! Up. He just crept the high fastball just foul, and it had home run distance.
Okay, I'm on the ITL website right now, and I don't know that they have updates. I don't see any.
Okay.
But, and I wouldn't know how to get those. Nick was looking for them, too.
Yeah, I did, with the MSO tweet, post up a tweet on the score of this game.
Good. All right. All right, so I'll tell you what, Tim. Why don't we take a break, and you go ahead and follow the action. I'll give you a call back in a few minutes.
Ray has just stolen second base. So we got a runner scoring position here. Brian LaFleur, it's, I believe, 2-1 is the count.
And Brian, of course, the Gloucester varsity baseball coach.
Yes, he is. So, in fact, that's the first stolen base of the night for Manchester Essex. Timely.
Are you keeping in the scorebook, a baseball scorebook?
I have my book in front of me.
There you go.
I had a number of people come by and ask me what was going on in the game. They see you with a scorebook to figure you know everything, you know?
Well, you know, like me in teaching, if you talk loud and authoritatively, they think you know what you're talking about. Not necessarily the case, but you probably look like a major league scout, Tim. You know, just put your Seattle Mariners hat on. Good.
Ooh, another long foul ball driven down a left field line.
Which way does Brian bat, right or left?
He's a right-hander. He has just crushed 2 foul balls, unfortunately. As a pitcher, they're just strikes. You know, fortunately for the pitcher, they're just long strikes. That's all they are. He's got him out ahead of him.
Just loud strikes.
You know,
yep.
So, you know, it's kind of a pitcher situation here. He's got, like a 1-2, a 2-2 count, and let's see, here he goes. Breaking ball, fouls it off.
So has Matt Roy taught you nothing?
I couldn't keep up with Matt Roy. But it is. It's a picture perfect night out here. There's just some wispy clouds in the up there, and they haven't turned the lights on yet. We were hoping that they would warm the lights up for the next game. And Brian has just ripped a base hit up in the center field, and Ray went to third, held there, and Brian is on first with the single. So now it gets interesting. Do they have Rory try a squeeze play here? And the Beverly infield is coming in. Brian, check out the catches, called everybody to the mound, discussed the situation. You got to believe LaFont is going to be running to try to draw a throw.
Mm-hmm.
And will Rory push one down, or is they going to give a strike to drive one and maybe lay one down at that point? Or if he gets a pitch that he can put down the baseline. That's ideally where you want a punt here to go. You want it going right down the baseline on the edge of the grass. And
Which
the third baseman or the first baseman to come in and commit on it.
Okay. All right, Tim Kearns with the play-by-play over at Cooney Field in Beverly. Beverly and Manchester Essex tied at 2, top of the 7th, 1 out, and Manchester Essex threatening with runners at 1st and 3rd.
All right. Pitches back into the stretch. Again, there's this situation Rory has seen many times. There's the bunt. It's down. And the suicide squeeze worked. Great job, Rory. Perfect.
All right, Tim, that's 5-4. I'm sorry, 5-4. Manchester leading. Tim, I'm going to take a break and get back to you.
Okay, Rick.
All right, we'll check in with you in a few minutes. Thanks.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastow, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
For complete coverage of high school football in Lynn and the surrounding communities, be sure to check out the sports section every day in the Daily Item newspaper or online at www.itemlive.com. Don't miss another game. Sign up for home delivery or a digital subscription now. Go to itemlive.com and click on Member Services at the top of the homepage or call 781-593-7700 extension 2, and a representative will get you started.
All right, we got football coming up in about one more month from now. And again, if you look at more MSONewsports.com, MSONewsports.com, right at the top of the page, you'll see our broadcast schedule. And we open up with a couple of games right there in that very first weekend. Looking forward to that. Tim Kearns over at Cooney Field in Beverly, where Manchester Essex has just taken a 5-4 lead. They lead the series 1-0 in the semifinals. And they've taken a 5-4 lead over Beverly after trailing by a score of 4-1. But again, if you check out our website, please do. We have a brand new website. It is the son or daughter, if you will, of More Stuff Online. This is MSONewsports.com, and we hope that you will enjoy it and send us along your thoughts, comments, complaints, again, at MSOWebRadio@gmail.com, MSOWebRadio@gmail.com. All right, we're going to take, I think, another really quick break here and then check back in. I'm trying to get a hold of a couple of people on our list here, but it just isn't working out all that well. So we'll get Tim back on here and see if we can get a resolution to that that game, or at least see what happens in the top here. Don't forget, if you take a look at our website, as I've been speaking here, Bill Newell has the brand new Del Russo Stadium in Revere up on the website. He's got some pictures. He's got an interview there, or at least some videos. Take a look at it. It is absolutely gorgeous. I've heard some great things about it, and there it is right on the website as I've been speaking. Thanks, Bill. So Harry Del Russo Stadium is ready for fall sports. City of Rear has a completely refurbished stadium featuring turf, a new track, and seating. And we will be there for at least one live football game in the fall. So very much looking forward to that. And thanks, Bill, for posting that so quickly. And if you click on the Radio Fall football broadcast schedule, you will see that our very first game will be on September the 11th with Lynn Classical at Gloucester. That will be our video game for the night. And Tim and Bill will be over at Wakefield, as we'll have Beverly at Wakefield. And then on Saturday, we are planning to have Lynn English at Swampscott on video as well. The following Friday, second weekend of the fall sports season, which is only a little more than a month away, it'll be Beverly at Gloucester. That's our video game. And then a couple of games will be at Manning Field, Lynn English at St. Mary's, Swampscott at Lynn Classical, doubleheader at Manning Field on that Friday night. So the complete schedule is there. Take a look at it. And again, if you have any thoughts or comments, send them along to msowebradio@morestuffonline.com. We're going to coordinate all these email addresses soon, so you can send along to Bill and to Tim and give them your thoughts as well. So all of that is coming up. But again, take a look at the at msonewsports.com, msonewsports.com, or msonewsports.com, because we have news up there as well. A boat fire in Gloucester today that I was able to cover at lunchtime. Thank goodness nobody hurt. It was a charter boat, 38-footer, owned by Mike Parisi, I believe, and it's the Amanda Marie. It was very close to shore in front of the tavern, the former tavern restaurant. It's the tavern function hall now, right along the boulevard in Gloucester. And the boat was very close to shore. It got brought in and a small engine fire. The crew were evacuated, and Gloucester Fire Department put it out. So a successful story there. But it's there. So we do news and sports. Okay, final break of the night. We're going to go back and talk with Tim Kearns. So stay with us. This is MSO Radio at msonewsports.com. And we will be back one more time.
North Shore Bank.
Hey, look, free lemonade.
Hey, sweetie, can we have two free lemonades?
Sure. Would you like me to pour it? There's just a small pouring fee of 50 cents.
Okay.
And it's just 25 cents more to have it chilled.
But the sign says free lemonade.
But you should really read the fine print.
Does it seem like your bank's checking accounts have all sorts of hidden fees? At North Shore Bank, we think checking should be sweet and easy, like sipping lemonade. That's why we offer checking accounts that work for you, without the customer service issues and hidden fees of a big bank. So if you're looking for a local community bank, call us today at 877-712-7000 or visit us online at www.northshore-bank.com.
North Shore Bank. North of your expectation.
Do you want me to smile while I pour?
Member FDIC, member SIF.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
The Law Office of Robert J. Madruga can help you with any questions you might have about taxation, estate planning, asset preservation, or wills, trusts, and probate. A tax specialist, Bob Madruga is the man to see about individual, corporate, or fiduciary taxation. Give Bob a call at 978-283-6883 and make an appointment to get your questions answered. The Law Office of Robert J. Madruga is conveniently located at 128 Main Street in Gloucester. For the best advice on taxes and estate planning, talk to the best. Robert J. Madruga, the best. Phone 978-283-6883.
Why St. Mary's? I'm Grace Carter-Regan, head of school, and I can answer that question. St. Mary's Lynn is a Catholic school, grades 6 through 12, offering students from 30 communities a rigorous college prep curriculum, state-of-the-art technology, small class sizes, championship athletics, and award-winning fine arts. Our graduates are accepted by the best colleges in the country, including Harvard, where three of our alumni are currently studying. Visit smhlynn.org and see for yourself.
Gloria Food Store, 268 Rantoul Street, is Beverly's number one deli. Gloria has cold-cut platters to get you ready for the game. Roast beef, imported ham, turkey breast, Genoa salami, American Swiss, and provolone cheese. Potato salad, coleslaw, pickles, potato chips, rolls, and much, much more. And Gloria uses only the freshest bread delivered every morning. And don't worry about the weather. When the snow comes, Gloria will be open. Beverly's number one deli has closed only once in 24 years due to weather. Gloria Food Store, 268 Rantoul Street, Beverly. Call 978-922-3333.
North Shore Radio. MoreStuffOnline.com. News and sports for the entire North Shore.
Okay, we're back. Final segment here on MSO. Newsports.com. Joining us now is the Hamilton Wenham Athletic Director, Craig Genualdo, whom I met back in the springtime. And Craig, boy, the months go by fast. Here we are almost at the end of summer. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Okay. Just super now. It's sort of a downtime for sports fans a little bit. You've got Little League going on and ITL, stuff like that. But for you athletic directors, it's a fairly busy time, is it not?
Yeah, we get registration is up and going. So right now we're probably at about three-quarters of the athletes that will participate in the fall are currently registered. So we're doing that. We're getting their physicals checked and getting all that stuff squared away. And in the meantime, we're getting all our coaches lined up and getting all their tons of paperwork that they have to go through every season and every year. And they do a great job with that. Just every year there's more and more stuff they have to do. So going through all that, getting the game schedules finalized, our game schedule will be up online for the middle of next week. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend it's the busiest time of year, but it's not like there's nothing going on, that's for sure.
Oh, I know. Well, I'm sure it's it doubles as when the kids get there and the buses and all
right.
That stuff. But
yep.
Now, what about coaches? Do you have any fall changes?
We do. Nancy Waddell, who took a year off, but she's very familiar to girls soccer fans in the area. She was the Ipswich coach for 6 or 7 years, I think, preceding last year. And then before that, I believe she was down in Weston. And so she's going to take over our girls' soccer post. So we're very, very excited about that. Brendan Grafham is going to be our new cheerleading coach this fall. So we're excited to have him on board as well. And then we have a couple assistant coaches and kind of like sub-varsity coaches that are going to be up and running. So we're looking forward to them. They're asking me some really good questions and getting up to speed. And I'm sure they're chomping at the bit, ready to go, too.
Yeah, I think people start to get itchy right now. I mean, everybody
yep.
still likes going to the beach, but, yeah, you do. Can you tell from the early registrations if the numbers are going to be pretty good?
Yeah, I think they'll be. Last fall, we had fantastic numbers. I was worried that they would dip a little bit this year, but they seem to be back strong. We're going to field three levels of soccer in both boys and girls, which we're always excited about. Our philosophy on that stuff is if there's enough kids, we're going to have three levels. So we always want to. We always want the most possible amount of kids participating. So that's exciting. We'll have two full JV field hockey levels. Football will be at about 45, 48, around there, but by the time all is said and done, and that's really strong numbers for us. Golf has like 24 kids signed up, so I don't know what's going to
happen. Okay.
That's a lot. So,
yeah.
And of course, cross-country for us is always a huge then we have about 50 kids between the boys and the girls signed up for that. So we're ready to go. We're excited. Like I said, we're probably about three-quarters full of some people getting back from vacations and all that stuff. And, there's still time, but we're gearing up. We have a fall parent and athlete and coach meeting here at the end of the month. We're getting ready for that, too, along with everything else. So it'll happen. I mean, I think is it three weeks from today is the first day of football. So
okay, wow. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, So 21 days from now, and the first day of football will definitely be in the book. So
now
it's going to happen fast.
Did you have some new teams in the spring? Did you have a new a JV or you had a couple of new teams, didn't you?
Yeah. So this past fall, we had JV and varsity softball after not having had a program for several years, and both teams were full. We were excited that it didn't. You're always concerned that it's going to impact other sports like girls tennis or girls lacrosse or something, and it really didn't. So that was good. It was just girls that. So it was extra kids participating. It wasn't like they were shifting from one sport to another. The more the merrier, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned, especially in the springtime. The kids, that time of the school year, they're starting to get weary of school, and so you worry that they're going to kind of stop participating and stuff. So we like to see the strong numbers in the spring, too. So we had that, and then in the winter we had started, we kind of had our own JV boys hockey program, which we had co-opted at Salem for a while. Mm-hmm. And so the kids that were on Salem are going to continue to grandfather in until their career ends. But meanwhile, we're bringing up a JV group behind them that'll, once they're all old enough, will eventually turn into varsity. So we added that too last year.
Excellent, excellent. And your spring sports, how'd you end up overall?
Good. The baseball team won a tournament game. I think boys tennis and girls tennis both made the tournament. Track and field always has very strong athletes that are going. The lacrosse teams didn't fare as well as they generally do. I think girls lacrosse have made the tournament 4 or 5 years in a row, and they just missed. I think they missed by one game. And boys lacrosse, which had gone to the Eastern Mass Finals the year before, had a lot of young kids and had graduated a lot of talent. And so they struggled a little bit to find their footing, but they had a good end of the year. And so we're looking forward to good stuff from them next year. So it was a good spring.
And still a bit of a high from that basketball season.
Yeah, no, that kind of carried through. I mean, that kind of lingered. It was just, I had never been a part of anything like that as a player, a coach, or an athletic director. When I was in high school, we'd gone to the Super Bowl in football a couple times, but we'd never really won. And that really was a huge thing to, especially with the whole community. I mean, there were people that came to those games that played in, the 70s, the 80s, the 60s even. And so that was a huge, huge thing. And of course, now the Twins have gone to Tilton, and so we wish them lots of luck. And Jimmy Campbell's off to prep school, and we wish him all the best. And I think our freshman team was undefeated, had one loss. JV team was really, really strong. So, so this year might be a bit of a transition year, but we're also, a big deal for us this year is we're moving to the Cal Small just based on enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we're thinking we're going to be doing pretty well. We're really excited about our field hockey program. We think they're ready to take off. So in that way, it's definitely going to be a transition year for everybody. Certainly basketball is not.
Well, like so many other schools in the area, you got a great thing going there, great tradition and great kids well and a good staff. So, congratulations with all that, Craig. And I hope I can check in with you from time to time during the school year.
You can check in with me whenever you want, my friend.
All right.
Anytime you want, for any reason at all. You need us just to go grab coffee. I'm good with that, too.
I'd love to do it. Thanks a lot, Craig. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Talk to you later. That's all Craig Genualdo, who is the athletic director over at Hamilton Wenham. And you can hear the phone ringing. We'll take a quick break and come right back. You can hear the phone ringing. I'm trying to get a hold of Tim Kearns here. See if we can get a final score from Cooney Field. But Chance, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, Tim, I got the wrap-up music going on. So what's going on?
Well, the game is over. Fantastics won it 5-4 in 7 innings. Mike Gibbon came in relief of Ryan Marks and struck out the side. The last strikeout was the better looking. It took him all of about 12 pitches to get through the inning. He came in and was just throwing the heat. And only mixed in a couple of breaking balls, and just dominated the middle of the Bentley order to pick up the save. So Ryan Mark gets the win, and Mike Gibbon gets the save here. Mitchus Reddix moves on to play the winner of Rowley and Rockport.
Sounds good, Coach. Great job tonight. Thanks so much.
All righty, Rick.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
All right, good night.
Good night. That's Tim Kearns over at Cooney Field in Beverly. Final score, Manchester Essex 5 and Beverly 4. Manchester Essex moves on in the ITL playoffs. Well, my thanks to our guest tonight, in particular, Hamilton Wenham Athletic Director Craig Genualdo. Of course, Bill Newell doing his usual stellar work with the interview with Kelly Farley. And my thanks to the Gloucester Times sports editor, Nick Kukru. And thanks to you for listening. Spread the word, will you? MSONewsSports.com. We need it. Spread the word. All right. Talk to you later.
This is MSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.